It's Hard Facts with Marion Okun on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Is the nation's number one talk news and sports radio station, 99.3 Nigeria Info, welcoming you to the Big Hard Facts. I did promise you that we'll be speaking with the special advisor to the president on policy coordination, Hadiza Bala Usman. And of course, many people are wondering what exactly is the Citizens Delivery Tracker app. Of course, everybody wondering what's that about. Well, the special advisor to Mr. President is joining us. She's going to educate us on how this will work, what they intend for it to achieve in the future, and of course how you and I can participate. Well, for those of you who do not know, the federal government about six or so days ago had unveiled an upgraded citizen delivery application called Citizens Delivery Tracker app, which has, as we speak, gone live. Now, speaking during that go live launch in Abuja, the special advisor who's joining us today via Zoom from the FCT noted that this was in furtherance of President Bola Ahmed Tinubu's determination to involve Nigerians in governance and to hold government accountable. Music to my ears. And it is a great pleasure to introduce to you my guest who's joining us via Zoom, Hadiza Bala Usman. Very gorgeous. Yellow is a perfect color for you. Thank you very much for joining us on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Perfect. And I must say, you're an early bird. You came very, very early and prepared to do your job. Great. It's so good to have you join us. Most importantly, the avid Nigerian wants to know what this app is about and why did you come up with this idea?
Okay. The Citizens Delivery Tracker is an application that allows for citizens to be part of governance, really. It details the deliverables of each minister, provides indicators on which basis you're going to assess your minister's performance. So really what it seeks to do is to take citizens and include them on what we're doing in government and for citizens to be part of assessing the performance of the government in totality. Because when you're assessing the performance of the ministers, the sectoral performance, you're in totality now assessing what the government has done. So it's quite an interesting thing for government to bear itself open, meaning for government to lay bare in details exactly what it seeks to achieve. So this is really, for me, a fundamental drive with which the president has laid himself bare, literally, to say, Nigerians, come and see what I have told my minister to do. Come and see the details of the deliverables of ex-minister. And come and look at the indicators with which I am going to use to assess my minister. I want you, too, as Nigerians, to assess that minister as well, so that the government is doing its own assessment and the citizens are doing their own assessment. And that is something I think is fundamental to recognize how much the president values inclusive government, how much he feels that Nigerians have given a mandate and Nigerians should work with him in ensuring that his appointees deliver on the mandate that has so been given to each one of them.
I think we need to, before we even start talking deliverables, Nigerians are going to say, well, how open is the budget in the first place for us to be able to even track what ministry, department or agency is doing in the first place? How much has been earmarked to them? And the fact that they have even swung into action, or let alone to see, oh, this is how much they've done or how far they've gone. How open is the budget to all of us? Because, of course, this, I remember that when I was doing a research on, you know, this whole process of accountability, the Ministry of Budget and Planning before now used to have oversight functions. But now with this app, are you telling us that every single information about ministries, departments and agencies, including the budget and the amounts that they've been earmarked for every budget, is going to be on that app? Is that what you're telling us?
No, we have their implementations that are around policy pronouncement programs and implementations of policy trust. So what we have is not budget tracking. There is the budget tracking mechanism that Ministry of Budget has. The budget is available for people to view and for you to see the implementation of budget, which speaks to capital projects, which speaks to recurrent projects. Well, there are aspects of deliverables that are not tied to budget. For example, you have a performance that speaks to what you intend to see, for example, like a NAFDAC certification, a NAFDAC application. I'm applying to NAFDAC for to register my product, and I need for that registration to be done within X period. So that is not a budgetary component. For example, I need to look at the sanctioning of airlines that have been delaying or canceling flights. That's not a budgetary component, but these are critical pain points that Nigerians feel. So the same way when you have customs service, how long does it take Nigerian customs to clear outbound cargo of agri produce, for example? So these are things that sit in the direct line of citizens' concerns, but I'm not specifically tied to a budget implementation. I'm not specifically tied to an expenditure head that speaks to a capital or recurrent expenditure, but it is core to our economy. It's core to the day-to-day lives of Nigerians. And that is why Mr. President identified 8 priority areas cutting across all the sectors, speaking to exactly what citizens want to see their government perform for them.
Can we list out these 8 8 aspects? Because of course the average Nigerian is listening and saying, if it's not tied to the budget, okay, how do we know that our money is well spent? Why is that also not on the app? Of course, this is what the average person is thinking about. Yes, the deliverables are great. We all want to keep our eyes on the customs with the expose that we've had recently and the several customs officials that have been fingered in some sort of racketeering. Of course, people are obviously interested in that. But what are the 8 areas that people should be looking out for, please?
So the list of 8 priority areas that Mr. President has identified, which is listed on the application, it cuts across the economy. The first area of priority is the economy, which is the reforming the Nigerian economy. The second area is around boosting our agriculture. The third area is on education, health, and social inclusion. We have also an area which speaks to the security, boosting our national security. We have another priority area that talks around digitization and the creative industry on how we can expand on the base of our economy. We also have a deliverable that talks about efficiency in governance, which speaks to the totality of how we implement our work. So while there are areas that are policy positions, there are also areas that have to do with, for example, capital expenditure. When we speak to, the Nigerian Police Force needs to ensure the rehabilitation of police colleges. So there is a capital expenditure component of it, of a budget. But what it speaks to is the fact that this is something that is important in the totality of the value chain, for example, on how to reform the Nigerian Police Force. So there are components of them that are budgetary tied, and there are components of them that are policy positions, there are components that are programs, but it just mops up what you want to see. So if you go, for example, to agri sector, we want to see the improvement in yield per hectare in rice. Okay, that yield per hectare in rice would speak to other aspects that are procurement or capital based. We also, in agri, for example, we want to see an improvement on the standardization of the export of agri produce. So why are Nigerian products being not accepted internationally? For example, our beans and our sesame seed are not given consideration. So what is the issue that is not? And that is a deliverable for the Ministry of Agri. You need to ensure that our agri produce meet the international standards. So that has several layers. But at the end of the day, what the Nigerian citizen wants to see is that person that is selling beans, that is taking it to Europe, wants the European countries to accept their beans. And the government needs to go back, whether it's a capital project requirement, a recurring project, but ensure that is done and that is delivered for the Nigerian. And the citizen delivery tracker would allow you as in this sector to now assess and say, by the way, Ministry of Agri has not met this deliverable on ensuring that Nigerians' agri produce are accepted. My sesame seeds are not accepted in Europe, and this is what has been said specific to that. So we're very mindful of things that are specific to what people do and making it very granular and very citizen-centric. So within the component of the larger scope of things, you'll be able to find a capital project, a recurrent project, but what matters to the average person is not what you do in terms of your own activity, is how does that affect me and enable me live a better life as a Nigerian, enable me improve my day-to-day as it speaks to healthcare, as it speaks to education, as it speaks to security. Just to give you an example in healthcare, one of the things we included is waiting time to see the doctor in federal medical hospitals. So these are the types of indicators that are globally recognized. So for example, in NHS, you say, how long does it take for a doctor to see a patient? So we've now also reduced in Nigeria, how long does it take a patient to see a doctor in our medical centers? Just to give you an example of the type of granular things we're looking at. At the same time, we also have rehabilitation of the hospitals themselves, but to the detail that you feel when you go to the hospital.
Yeah. For me, these are, if you ask me, it's novel. But then, like you said, there's so many layers to it. And for the average Nigerian, for example, let's take the healthcare sector. When I was a young girl, for every, let's say, a few meters in every community, you'd find a primary health post. We don't have those things anymore. They've disappeared. And so it's forcing everybody to go to the federal medical center, to the general hospitals, which is also putting pressure on those doctors because we have killed our primary health care. So whether we like it or not, we can't start from the top to deal with the issue. There has to be a bottom-up
approach. So it's interesting you raise that, because what we did in addition is to see what is the issue with having medical personnel in rural hospitals, in primary healthcare. Why do we not have personnel manning our primary healthcare? So we looked to see, how do you incentivize? What is the incentive you need to give medical personnel to enable them work in rural communities? And we put that amongst the key KPIs for Ministry of Health. We had discussions with them, and they've started to work on what sort of incentive do we need to provide for rural healthcare personnel. And with conjunction of the state government, we're now working, the Ministry of Health, as you know, the primary healthcare centers are under the state government, yes, but the federal government has a role. But what the federal government is doing now is coming up with incentives that would allow for healthcare personnel to work in the rural areas. So if you are working in the center of Abuja, you'll not get that allowance for somebody that's working in the rural primary healthcare centers. We feel that attracting healthcare personnel to those rural PHCs, that is where you can improve. So as you mentioned, healthcare is grounds up, education is grounds up. So we need to work from the bottom up to see what we need to do. So these are the type of things that we've put in the application, and it's bottoms up, and we want Nigerians to go and comment and say, oh, we have not seen, where is this incentive Nigerian government has said they'll provide to attract doctors, healthcare personnel to go to rural community? Where is that incentive? Let me see it, and let me know that in my PHC we have a nurse there that is coming to the PHC because she's receiving a rural allowance for her to be there. So it's the same way we're also working to see the value chain in healthcare. How do we make it possible for Nigeria to produce things locally? How do we compel Nigerians to promote and support indigenous productions of gloves, of syringes, for using them? So we must make sure that we recognize there's a value chain that exists, the standardization is correct, and compel our own users to patronize and do it. But it's a whole value chain that the president has directed. There's a presidential committee on it, and you see it on the app when you go to healthcare, where there's a presidential committee that is tasked with exploring that. So we're really being very granular, and in coming up with this, we engage with citizens extensively to see what your issue is across the sectors and see how we can tie it to what a minister needs to do in that sector.
I want to talk about the technology of that app, but before I go to that, I want to take you on another sector. Let's talk about NAFDAC, which also a little bit falls under standards organizations and, of course, health.
Yes.
There are cases where, in fact, whether we like it or not, Nigeria has been flooded with all kinds of fake products, some of them bearing the names of the original ones. And sometimes it's very difficult for you to tell the difference because it might just be a letter that's changed. Is there a place to report some of these, fake or under... I don't know. Is there a page where we can take pictures and say, well, this drug is supposed to be,
yes,
is not supposed to be on the shelves, or this particular fruit, whatever it is. Is there a place for that to happen on the app?
Yes. So what we've done is with NAFDAC, we have done, the issue you raised is one of them. But importantly, we have provided specific targets and timelines for NAFDAC. So at what point are you going to ensure that all such medications are having a verification code? So they have classification. X type of medications currently have verification codes. So at what point would you ensure all the categories of medication and all the categories of products that are used have a system where you can verify their code? You see some have them now and some do not have. So it's not every drug that you see you can scratch and send that code and they'll revert back to you. So what we did is to put for NAFDAC, how long before you cover all these categories of drugs to enable us to know what form of sanctioning and how many people have been prosecuted So one of the things that we also seek to do is, okay, NAFDAC, when you get these people that have done fake Coca-Cola or fake this, what happens to them? Are they prosecuted to the end? Are they jailed? Because that is what people need to go through to enable them to stop. What manner of sanctioning and prosecution exists for areas where people, counterfeiting of drugs, counterfeiting of and products? And one of the things that they said to us was that, oh, we do not prosecute. So I said, who prosecutes? And that prosecution needs to be on that person's deliverable, because if all you do is apprehend, there must be the next leg of prosecuting and jailing people for counterfeiting drugs, counterfeiting products. That is, you know, consequence management is important. For so long as people are not, you know, face the consequences of bad behavior, the bad behavior will continue, and we'll continue to see that. So we've done this for NAFDAC to expand on this, and we have also compelled them when it comes to registration. I remember when we raised the issue with NAFDAC, there was a bit of a pushback regarding the timeline. And I said, you know, NAFDAC needs to do this, because for every one of us in our daily lives, I was at a farmer's market in Lagos, and I was buying honey and all of that. And the ladies kept referencing that, oh, we don't have NAFDA registration because we've been on it for 1 year. We don't have NAFDA registration because we've been on it for. So these are the type of things that all of us face on our day-to-day lives. And all of us now must come together to compel agencies of government to ensure they do what they're required to do. And hearing from citizens will now confirm to us, it's not just us assessing ourselves, because indeed, internally, we would assess and say, oh, have you delivered? Mm-hmm. But we want citizens to also say, no, I know when I went to Ogun, the people there in so-so-so factory were unable to get NAFDA registration for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And you put the address of the place, and then we'll be able to take NAFDAC on ensuring that those certifications are provided.
Let's talk about the technology of the app. I've got about 5 to 6 minutes to get your responses on all my questions before we bring Lagosians in. Let's talk about the app. How upgraded is the technology? Because you see, I'm sorry, and I'm guessing I'm speaking for many Nigerians, there are lots of things that governments before now and even this present government have introduced, and they really don't last. So what's the guarantee that this app will not be revived every now and again because it has collapsed like our national grid?
Not at all. So just to ensure sustainability is that, If you can see that we reference the app as an upgrade, so it's not a new application. It was we inherited it from the last regime. Mm-hmm. What we sought to do was to improve on it in terms of the content, deliverables, and the KPIs, and sit it around what is expected of this this cabinet. So we are conscious of the fact that sustainability governance is a continuum. We're not going to start another app, abandon an app, and continue, you know, doing all manners of ad hoc applications. But this is what we inherited, and we will continue to use it, and we'll continue to upgrade. As you know, with digital applications, you need to continue constantly updating and ensuring that it meets up to the standards required. Also, in terms of content, we need to improve. So in my submission, when we went live with the application, I spoke to the fact that if you have any additional deliverables or KPIs that are citizen-centered and you feel we have not captured them, please feel free to write us and request for it, because nobody has monopoly of knowledge. The more you engage with citizens, the more you realize their pain points. So we are listening, we're very inclusive, and we look forward to receiving additional areas where we may have had a blind spot and not seen it. So we look forward to receiving those as well. But indeed, technologies are not things that we abandon, but we upgrade and continue to engage and ensure that the necessary service is provided and Nigerians have the input needed for governance.
What's the turnaround time like? Because I don't want to be wasting my data or becoming a reporter for the government. Of course, I'm also doing myself some good if I make sure that I keep these people accountable. But I don't want to waste my time and just keep posting and reporting, and I don't see any, responses or a change in the policy or the system in itself. What's the turnaround time for these reports?
Okay, so one of the things that we need to clarify about the delivery tracker is that you're required to assess the ministers in terms of what they've done, and the ministries, importantly, the ministries in totality, to say this thing has not been done. Uh-huh. So we would respond within 24 hours. But what it is that delivery tracker is to do an assessment so that we collate what you've said, and we now submit it to the president that mm-hmm. the citizens have said this about your healthcare sector. This is what mm-hmm. the citizens have said. And these are the areas. and they've assessed the minister and they've scored him X percent on his performance across this deliverable. So what it seeks to do is to provide citizens with accountability in terms of calling government out. But on the day-to-day response on issues to say, oh, this has been resolved, this has not been resolved, is something that we are working to see how effective that will be. But primarily the citizen tracker is for you to say, X sector has not performed and we've scored them 5%. X sector has performed and we've scored them 70% based on the mandate that has been given to them.
Will we see people, you know, face the chopping board of sorts? You know, if I mean, it's a worthy question, isn't it? If yeah. I see that this ministry, this department, this agency has been on the low and low for long, are we going to see someone get chopped off so that they can bring someone who would do a better job? I'm just thinking.
So that is the reason why Mr. President is so keen on having this. That's why he wants to be able to see empirically who is performing. And, you know, historically, sometimes we have an assessment that is not based on data, that is not driven by clear performance, clear indicators, which is why we have now introduced this assessment system that is based on global standards. So you'll be able to see, oh, your yield per hectare for rice, you'll be able to see your yield utilization of fertilizer, you'll be able to see all the things that we use empirical data to guide. So if you say as a government, oh, I have been able to move yield per hectare in rice in Kaduna, citizens will say, no, my farm's yield per hectare is not this. And it should be clear. So Mr. President is using it to facilitate for his own assessment to see at the end of the day, he is the person that has been elected. He has a contract with citizens to enable him to deliver. So he's not going to allow any one of us, his appointees, to stand in the way for him to deliver. If you're unable to perform and he has empirical data which supports your inability to perform, having given you the necessary support, the necessary funding to deliver, and you haven't, then you'll have to excuse him for him to bring someone else. So all of us that are his appointees are conscious of the fact that he has been the one that has the contract with citizens. So we are all there to support him. And if we're unable to carry our weight and deliver based on what he has given, then we'll have to excuse him for him to bring other people that will perform. So really, it's about him delivering. And he consciously recognizes, Mr. President, that he has a contract with Nigerians and he's here to perform for Nigerians, and nothing will stand in the way of him delivering on the Renewed Hope agenda that he has clearly spelled out within his KPIs and deliverables.
This question is for you before we go on a break directly. Does that mean that you're also on the chopping board in case you're not delivering in this office?
Yes, we're all political appointees. So if I'm not delivering on doing an empirical assessment of ministers, then I would also have to excuse the president, because what matters to him is for him to deliver. He's not here. He has engaged in Nigeria. He said this is what he intends to do. And for so long as he's given us all the necessary support, funding, and enable access to deliver on it, and we're not able to, we have no choice but to step down and allow him to hire people that I will be able to deliver for him.
In case you're just joining us, the program is Hard Facts. On the Big Hard Facts today, we've been talking with Hadiza Bala Usman. For those of you who do not know, we're talking about the Citizens Delivery app. It's an application where you, as a Nigerian, can check what ministries, departments, and agencies are doing, and every form of promise and deliverables that have not necessarily been met. You do have an opportunity, according to her, to, you know, rate them. And in those ratings, Mr. President will be able to say, well, this the ministry is doing right or not doing right, and then, okay, maybe I have to keep you aside and get, or up the ante for whatever they need to do. Well, we're talking about the Citizens Delivery Tracker app, and I want to go on a quick break. When we come back, Lagos, I want you to join the conversation. If you're listening and watching us, live from outside of the country, please, by all means, join the conversation. We're on Skype, we're Nigeria Info FM via Skype. I know Nigerians in diaspora are also interested in what happens in Nigeria, because we're one way or another, whatever happens within this country rubs off on us one way or another outside of the country. And we do have family members in this country also. And for those of you who are watching us live, we're on YouTube, Nigeria Info FM 99.3. We're also live on Facebook, facebook.com/ Nigeria Info FM. And you can join the conversation also on WhatsApp. Drop a message. But when we come back, the phone lines will be open. 60 seconds is all you have. Go straight to the point. Ask your question so that she can answer. We'll be right back after these messages. I am Mary Anna Cohn, and the program is Hard Facts. This is the nation's number one talk, news, and sports radio station, 99.3, Nigeria Info. accurately with analysis.
It's Hard Facts with Marianne O'Connor on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
We're back. We've got 15 minutes to take all your thoughts and your comments. So Lagos, the phone lines are open. Don't forget, you have 60 seconds. Go straight to the point. Ask your question so that we can have the essay speak to those points. But first and foremost, we're still being joined by Hadiza Bala Usman. For those of you who do not know, she is the essay to Mr. President. For those of you who have been wondering, what department is this? What agency is this? We don't know about it. Does it exist? In fact, somebody sent a message to say, well, apparently, this app has been in existence under the former administration. It means that the former administration failed woefully because no one was able to track anything. No one knew its existence. Maybe a few people, but, you know, for the want of a better way to describe it, it was a failed app up until now that it has been re-unveiled. But anyway, for those of you who are joining the conversation, we're talking about the Citizens Delivery Tracker app. And this was unveiled a few days ago by Mr. President. And we are looking at what this app is for, how it can help us to bring some form of or level of accountability for our public office holders. If you have questions, comments, join the conversation. We're live on YouTube and on Facebook, Nigeria Info FM 99.3. You could join the conversation if you are listening to us on our mobile application from outside of the country. Join us via Skype. It's Nigeria Info FM. All right, let me start with the phone lines. Hello. Welcome to Hard Facts. Turn off your radio, please.
Hello.
Turn off your radio. Okay, call me back when you're ready. I'm not going to waste time because we don't have too much of it. Hello, welcome to Hard Facts.
Hi, Marianne. This is Mrs. Oboli calling from Nicaragua.
Go ahead.
Okay, a tracker app. Really, I heard her mention, first and foremost, how many people have we, even without a tracker app, it's evident that there are some people that are not really performing, and it's evident. I don't really think we need a tracker app. Okay, now that the tracker app is here, how many people have been prosecuted, if eventually this tracker app, we are meant to report who will be prosecuted, who will be taken in?
Mm-hmm.
Then she mentioned something about security. She didn't expatiate on it. I was thinking something about security concerning this tracker app is because that is the main issue that this country is facing now.
Okay.
I really want to shed light on it.
All right, thank you very much. I'll take another call. Hello, welcome to Hard Facts.
Hi, Marianne.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Remy.
Remy, go ahead. Yeah.
How can I take this government serious when presently they have over 400 names given to us in a platter of gold, terrorism sponsors, and they're here to act on it? Two, how can I take them serious when Soyombo with revelations about customs went on different platforms to show the evidence, and they're here to act on it? And you want me to believe an app will make a change when they're here to act on, when someone gave them invisible evidence?
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Yemi, for your question. Essie, I'm going to let you answer those first two questions and then we'll bombard you with more. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you, Mary. The first caller spoke about security, and security is, in fact, Mr. President's second priority. So strengthening the national security is number two priority. So he's very clear that, yeah, it's an important and integral part of it. And when you look into the application of the security, you're going to see respective aspects that speak to what we'll deliver. And Ministry of Police Affairs has the details of what is required. Ministry of Defense has the details speaking to the issue of abduction, speaking to the issue of terrorism. Details of how many terrorism cases have been addressed, the issues. So security is his number two priority following reforming the economy. So without a doubt, there is clarity on the fact that security is important and that is being addressed. We can see today 22 people that were abducted in Zamfara have been released and have been handed over to just shortly. So this is something that Mr. President is very clear on. You spoke about evidently some people are not performing. So what we want to do is to use empirical data to guide it, as opposed to it being an emotional position that, oh, this person is not working. Because as we know, some people have the capacity for having glitterati social media and presence without actually speaking to the content of the work. So we want to be able to see, oh, how much have you done based on data that we've gotten from National Bureau of Statistics, how much has the needle moved in actual numbers in that sector, as opposed to it being a sentimental thing, which is why we're using, as I keep repeating, empirical data to guide the basis to assess the performance of the minister. So I encourage everybody to also use data to say, oh, this has not moved. That has not been done. You said you're going to rehabilitate 4 colleges. You've only rehabilitated 2. This is the picture I've seen. You said you're going to increase enrollment. This is the number of enrollment. It has not increased.
Okay.
And then the next issue is about clear evidence of, for example, custom allegations and terrorism that have been provided. When such allegations are made or there's evidence of this, there's a panel that is usually set up to investigate and validate such submissions or such investigations. So I believe Nigerian Customs is doing that, and having it been an issue that has been so submitted by a citizen, will take it up to ask, okay, what is the outcome of your own investigation arising from the incidents where there was a clear expose on what is going on within the Customs Service. And as I repeat, the issue of terrorism is the front burner for Mr. President, as we've all seen, and we continue to track our security agencies to see that they've performed. And which is why, when you talk about how many abductions have been done, how long did it take for you to release them, how many people have you prosecuted for such type of crime? So this is what we're working to do.
Great. Hello, welcome to Hard Facts.
Yeah, good evening, Marianne.
Good evening.
And my name is Apush, and your guest, Hadiza Usman.
All right, go ahead. Quickly, you have 60 seconds.
Interesting and great to hear of this data delivery tracker, right?
Mm-hmm.
So good. My own might not be questioned. Yeah. You know, let me start from here. It might be appeal to your guest.
Okay.
The special advisor to President Bola Ahmed Tinubu. I want him to, on this custom clearing duties, importation duties, is so high. Please, your guest, Usman, Hadiza Usman, deliver this message. Like I myself, is hindering my business. You know?
Okay.
Before, we used to clear container with 3 million. Now it's 32. At 5 million, as the case may be.
Wow.
It's so high. Please, wow, deliver this to Mr. President. He's hindering some business.
All right.
Here.
Thank you very much.
Some inflation to get down.
All right.
You know?
Thank you very much, Rabiru, for calling. 60 seconds is the amount of time that we're giving to you because we want to take as many questions. Hello.
Hi, Mimi. This is
Juan. Hi.
Okay, so my question to her, I listened to a couple of her comments. I joined a bit late, but I have a concern. So, from my experience, I know that statistical analysis without reliable data quality is actually always had the vision undermined. So, my question to her is, considering the fact that we don't have a reliable data source for Nigeria, how are you going to validate these responses you get? Because we know clearly that AI can actually give you unverified responses. I've been in political rallies where we see political contestants or aspirants planting people to ask them questions just to get, they select those wrong just to get those responses. So when it comes to AI in Nigeria, people can actually, you can actually have an account on Instagram, Mimi, and someone else who, there are people who do this for as a business.
Yeah.
They can give you 1,000 responses, positive responses.
So fake responses or fake hacking responses, the app, you know, in favor of a ministry.
In terms of who these citizens are, who are those, okay, actually contributing quality responses. We have no data as far as citizenship. So who are those? What security measures does she have to ensure we are getting verified responses?
All right. Thank you, Florence. This is a very important question because we live in a day and an age where bank apps are being hacked. INEC has been hacked, as we hear reportedly, and several things, anything can happen. Just as she said, how do you guard against, what are the firewall mechanisms that have been put in place to stop this from happening? Because if I can pay some white hat, hacker to give me very many responses, fake responses to make me look good, what's stopping every other person from doing that?
Yeah, so it's also not a popularity type of assessment. It's not how many people want to see positive things about you on the application. So it's specific to, for example, you say, oh, we have an increase in crude oil production. Nigeria is now producing X million barrels a day. So it's either the barrels are there or they're not. So it doesn't matter if 1,000 people come and say we're producing 3 million barrels. The data would show that it's not a function of how many people come and say, oh, Hadiza is doing good on the application. No, it's a function to say, has Hadiza done this? Have we seen a commensurate increase in crude production? Have we seen a commensurate increase in gas production in the country? And the data for baseline is 1.2 million barrels for Nigeria. And how much has Nigeria moved the needle in getting to an additional amount of data? So it's really not how many people say positive things about you. It's specifically tied to issues. So how many international passports have been processed in this quarter? What is the turnaround time for your application for your international passport? What is the turnaround time for your visa on arrival? Is it 24 hours? Is it 48 hours? So it's not a popularity thing that you get people to vote for you and you seem to be working, but speaking to the fact that this is data-driven and empirical data, which is why I mentioned Nigerian Bureau for Statistics, and we're going to strengthen and have reliable data to guide our data integrity and data protection. So which is why we would look at what we have. Nigerian Bureau for Statistics will have its own. Citizens will say there. So we're able to now look at it and say, oh, it's a data-driven thing. So it doesn't matter if you hire a million catfish accounts to keep saying you're doing good. No, if it shows that there is no there are no doctors in the hospital, there are no teachers in the school, the medical facility has not been rehabilitated, NAFDAC is taking 1 year to give application. Even if 1 million people say NAFDAC is doing well, the fact that it's evident that there is no traction, it takes a few years for you to get to application. So that is really
We
seek to do to address that. On the issue of appealing, we'll raise this with the Honorable Minister of Finance, Coordinating Minister of the Economy, regarding the high cost of duty on clearing of cargo, so that that can be addressed. It may be linked to the issue of the foreign exchange, as it were, but this is something that we'll have to ask them to clarify why that is and convey, Mr. President, to Mr. President, the concerns. And as I keep referencing, Mr. President is very keen. He actually asks to say, what are citizens saying about this? So he's a very passionate, inclusive president that wants to hear what citizens are saying.
Okay. All right. We've got a few more calls. I can take one quick call and then, of course, read messages. Hello.
Hey, good evening, Marianne.
Good evening. You have 60 seconds, please.
Yes. Good evening to your guest.
Yes.
This is Pastor Ladipo calling from Orile Gomo.
All right. Go ahead. Yeah.
My question to your guest is this. Knowing fully well that most of the appointees are career politicians, and we know that they can, though he has answered part of that question, do they have to tie some of their performance to project performance? If the answer is yes, there is already an independent institution that has been tracking a lot of projects from different ministries. Are they looking into that private independent trackers that have been doing this?
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Essay, would you like to respond quickly?
Okay, we would love to see the this independent, private driven, maybe citizen driven tracker, so that we can see what they have. I'm not aware of it. I'm aware of a tracker that Ministry of Budget has, which tracks the budget deployment across capital projects. That is government owned, but of course we're keen to have citizens track, and would like to know about that detail, and we'll follow this application to see where we can also enhance on our own oversight and enhance our own performance delivery. So that's something that we would love to have. So if you can provide us with the details.
All right, I have just about 2 minutes on the clock. So let me go to social media and read some of the messages that people are sending so that they get involved. Someone is saying, good evening to the essay and Marianne. We appreciate the efforts of the Ministry of Internal Affairs with regards to the passport. Why is the total charge $165 as against $130 as advertised, plus additional $30 being charged as admin fee by Nigerian embassies in New York? He's talking about a hidden charge. He says, where applicants are made to pay these monies upon capture. This is aside buying postage envelopes nearby. Is it not deceit on students and other applicants? This is from Ugo. Maybe that will be the only question I can ask you to answer.
Okay, thank you for that. This is very useful information. We're going to raise it to the Ministry of Interior to provide clarification on why there's a variance between what has been so announced as the fee and the actual amount that people are made to pay, looking at the admin fee you said, and also having foreign missions have an additional charge. And that's important. Thank you very much for that feedback. And we'll definitely get the clarification from Ministry of Interior.
Okay. I think I can take one more reaction. This one says, please kindly ask your guests why the Nigerian government security agencies do not employ the use of forensics for crime investigation. That's science. We can start with something as simple as gathering fingerprints from a crime scene.
Marianne, yeah. I lost you. So sorry.
Okay, so someone is asking about security agencies, why they don't use forensics. But I have just 50 seconds for you to respond to that. I don't even think you're the right person for the job.
They're using forensics. They've started using that. They've always been the center for there's always been the utilization of the forensics. To what extent is it available across the whole police deployments in the country is something that we need to clarify. But indeed, Nigerian Police Force has an element of forensic within their operations. They do.
Well, I want to say thank you because we're almost out of time. Thank you so much, SA, for coming on the show. I know how I kept dragging for you to come on the show, even when you were on your Salah holiday. But our guest has been Hadiza Abala Usman. She is a special advisor to Mr. President on policy coordination. Thank you very much for speaking to Nigerians and, of course, educating us on the importance of this app. We're hoping that you, whenever we call on you, you'd be glad to come back.
We would be glad. I'll be available to come on. Citizens are important. And what matters is day to day on our existence. We also see things that we want to raise. So feel free to reach out. I'll be available. Thank you so much, Marianne. It's been a nice outing. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you so much
for coming.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
All right. Well, Lagos, that's it on this conversation. Once again, we want to say thank you to Hadiza Bala Usman, who's a special advisor to the President on policy coordination. When we come back from the break, I'll be saying my proper goodbyes on Hard Facts today. Stay with us.